In 1855, in Millsboro, Delaware, a man named Levin Sockham was doing very well for himself. He was a Nanticoke business owner. His name was clearly Native American. Sockham is an Algonquin word, but the larger society viewed him as black. Sockham sold guns and gunpowder, among other things, at his general store. Back in the 1850s, almost all whites and Native Americans owned guns, but it was illegal for black people to do so. Here's Chief William Daisy, the current leader of the Nanticoke tribe.
Levin Sockham was accused of selling a gun to a Native American, but they classified him as black.
The problems began after Levin Sockham sold gunpowder to another Nanticoke man, his cousin Isaiah Harmon. The Nat Turner Rebellion, in which a group of Virginia slaves killed over 50 people, had happened just 25 years earlier. So whites were anxious about black people gaining access to ammunition, and they were going to enforce every rule about who could buy and sell arms. Levin Sockham and his cousin were accused of breaking race laws. But tribal members, including Chief Daisy, doubt that the larger white community was simply trying to enforce the letter of the law.
He was prospering, and they didn't like that. He was semi-independent. They did not want that. The folks at that point in time did not want that.
Gabrielle Tayak is a historian for the National Museum of the American Indian. She says that's likely true.
And the assessment, looking back on it, was that his business was taking business away from white business owners, store owners in the area.
To me, it seems like it was a case of jealousy.
That's tribal elder Sterling Street.
And that some of the white neighbors were jealous of Levin Sockham because he owned this store and he was making money. And his own nephew or cousin bought gunshot from him. And they wanted to prove that he was a mulatto or a Negro. And so that case was brought to fore.
And so what began as a simple case about selling gunshot would now play a major role in shaping the destiny of the Nanticoke people. Again, historian Gabrielle Tayak.
The question was he an Indian or was he black? And the assessment was if he were to be found to be black or mulatto, then it would have been illegal for him to have made the sale. It ended up being a racial trial.
And here's where things get a little crazy. The prosecution brought out an 87-year-old woman named Lydia Clark. They argued that she was the last real Nanticoke, and that Levin Sockham couldn't be Nanticoke.
Lydia Clark was cast as the last Nanticoke, as the last person left alive, even though she had family members and she had children. You know, she had people who were related to her. And so it was also really playing into the whole notion of the vanishing Indian, the idea of racial purity. The U.S. has a very hard time with going outside of a racial binary. You know, you're either black or you're white. You're this or you're that.
Lydia Clark, the so-called last Nanticoke, testified that Levin Sockham and his cousin were descended from slaves and a white landowner. In her testimony, she totally erased their native heritage.
And because she lived on one of the white landowner's land, we think that her testimony was forced.
Looking back on it, her descendants really bring up the issue that she was elderly, that she was infirm, and that she was very dependent on the white family that she lived with.
After Lydia Clark testified that Levin Sockham and his cousin weren't really Nanticoke, the all-white jury came to a decision.
It was determined that he was, in fact, mulatto or Negro, and that he was not a Nanticoke Indian or was not sufficiently Nanticoke to not be considered to have any African ancestry.
In the end, Levin Sockham was given a fine and had to pay the entire burden of the court costs. Lydia Clark died a year later, and according to one of her descendants, she went to her grave repentant. She said she had dishonored her own people. Levin Sockham had to face another trial and lost again, this time for simply owning a gun. The damage from these two losses was too much. Here's Nanticoke Chief William Daisy.
He got tired of the junk, and he moved, you know, which a lot of folks did. Not everybody, but some did. Some moved to New Jersey, moved to Philly.
Nanticoke people ended up, you know, moving over onto the New Jersey side where the race laws weren't so strict. And he could be himself. He could be a Nanticoke person. He could be a business owner. And he didn't have to, you know, he really didn't have to comply or degrade his sense of himself at all by going to New Jersey. However, what it meant was that he was uprooted from his homeland.
Levin Sockham left Delaware, but the memory of his story is still very much alive in Millsboro. After his case and departure from the community, the tribe maintained a low profile for generations. Those subsequent generations and how their descendants survived what Chief Daisy calls a paper genocide is the subject of our next History Matters. For Delaware Public Media, I'm Ann Hoffman.
Thanks to our Ann Hoffman for this edition of History Matters. And again, we'll have the second part of this look at the Nanticoke Tribe in our next History Matters later this month. You're listening to Delaware Public Media.